Thanks for coming back with Representative Tom Albert, the chairperson of the House Appropriations Committee over there in Lowell, Michigan. What's it doing over there?
You know, it's snowing. I thought it was above 32 degrees, but I guess maybe I was wrong.
Welcome to Michigan. All right, Rick, let's start the OT segment.
I want to go back to something we were talking about earlier, and I think Chad made a very interesting point talking about this vaccination rollout. And I think we all agree it hasn't been as smooth as it might have been, and blame whomever you like. The fact is it just hasn't been. And now if we're looking at late August, and I have to tell you, I'm skeptical when we start setting new deadlines, because we've pretty much pushed back everyone that's ever started, it seems, since this pandemic began here. If we're looking at late August for getting a lot of herd immunity with inoculations, how responsible is it to be pushing to open up the state? And I talk with restaurateurs almost daily, and I really appreciate the fact that people are hurting and that they need to do something to get their businesses open. I'm not discounting that at all, but I'm just wondering about the safety, despite the numbers that you gave that showed relatively low death rates for certain groups. I mean, people are still getting very sick and people are dying.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of an understatement to say relatively low. I mean, 0 to 4 years old, there's been 65 deaths nationwide, COVID-related. And many of those, I don't know each specific case, but I'm going to assume they had some very serious underlying conditions in nearly all of those cases. So, you know, I'm very supportive of the way they're doing it in Florida with Governor DeSantis down there. If you're over 50 years old, especially if you're over 65, that's where the very substantial risk is. I would have gone with the approach of, if you're over 65, you're first in line. I understand the theory of, you know, we got to get our frontline workers, our law enforcement, and our healthcare professionals vaccinated first. I understand. I'm not going to say it was a wrong policy, but a 23-year-old nurse that's completely healthy and no underlying conditions, I don't see that they should be front in line before an 85-year-old grandma or 65-year-old grandma. I mean, it just doesn't seem logical to me.
But what about the teachers? I mean, if you want 1.5 million school children in school so their parents can go to work every day and we can have a functional economy, shouldn't we have been vaccinating the teachers around Christmas?
Yeah, depending on age and if they have underlying conditions, it's the same thing. If it's a 23-year-old healthy teacher, they still, looking at the data, they don't have the same risk. You know, another thing that hasn't really been talked about is what's the cost of the kids of not being in school. We have Grand Rapids Public School has not had in-classroom instruction since last March. The kids who are going to be the most disproportionately impacted here are those that are the most vulnerable. And many of those kids are now going to have insurmountable odds to get caught back up in school. And that's really going to have an impact on their future life outcomes. So, you know, what they're capable of doing later in life. And we have, and I agree, Chad, like I do think that teachers needed to get the vaccines. They need to be up there in front, but I still think it can be based on age and if they have an underlying condition.
Representative, how does what you're saying about vaccinating people based on age, you know, you've been asking for these metrics and saying we need to be informed based on positivity rates and case rates, things like that, that inform our decisions of when to reopen parts of our economy. You know, if we're not vaccinating the 23-year-old nurse or the teacher, our positivity rates will still be high and our case rates will still be high. So how do those two things square?
I mean, I just can't agree with the premise that they're still going to be high. I mean, do masks work? I guess if masks don't work, then I guess you're right. They're still going to be spreading. But if they're wearing a mask everywhere they go, then theoretically they shouldn't be shedding the virus and they shouldn't be spreading the COVID. So I guess I don't agree with the premise of the question.
Representative, did you think in any way that the Attorney General's charges against Mr. Snyder and other members of his administration were politically motivated, sir?
I'll be honest with you, Tim. I've got a lot of challenges in front of me with the budget and trying to keep our state afloat. I have been focused on that, and there's just not really any legislative overlap to that issue right now. So I can't really weigh in because I haven't given it much thought.
Well, do you think it'll have a chilling effect that if you make a mistake as a state bureaucrat, unintended, that you could be charged with a crime? Does that bother you?
Me personally? No. I put my faith in the good Lord. I do my job to my best of my ability. Any mistakes are mine. And, you know, in the Marine Corps, we have a leadership principle that we live by. And it's, know yourself, seek self-improvement, and take responsibility for your actions. I mean, I'll continue to do that.
Okay. Did you sign off on the Flint settlement, the $640 million? Did you sign off on that?
Do you mean what we voted on last lame duck?
Yeah.
I agreed to the settlement. It was actually two votes. I'm glad you brought that up, Tim. It was actually two different votes. I agreed on the settlement. I did not agree on the funding mechanism. I voted no. They actually did bonding, $600 million in bonds. It's actually going to cost like $1 billion to do it that way. And frankly, it's not fair for my kids that weren't even born when the Flint water crisis occurred. When they become adults, they're going to have to be paying this off. So I completely agree that, you know, what happened in Flint was bad and we have a responsibility to pay for it. I just don't agree that it should be done through bonding.
I will do one quick round with Rick. Go ahead.
If you agree that that money needs to be allocated, how would you pay for it?
Well, you're going to see from CREC, that's going to be starting in, as we record this in 14 minutes, there's going to be plenty of money available on the books to pay for something like that.
So you would have just used surplus funds or fund balance to pay the $600 million now, rather than what they're doing is a 30-year bond. It's going to cost taxpayers $30 million a year, basically, for the next 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, you say $30 million a year, and that's how they positioned it. That doesn't sound like very much, but the thing is it's going to cost an extra $400 million in interest. So it's completely unfair to our future generations. So I agree with what you're saying, but I just fundamentally, I don't do business that way. I don't agree with taking out debt when it's not necessary. The premise that Treasury put out there, my understanding, is that they were saying we would have to take it from the rainy day fund, and there was other sources we could have used, as you mentioned, surplus revenues or the balance sheet. It did not have to come from the rainy day fund.
Abigail, you got another one?
Go ahead. Many state lawmakers have been exposed to COVID-19, some of them at the Capitol, as well as staffers. We saw House rules change this week, allowing in the House for remote testimony. Do you anticipate that will be used by members of your committee and other committees in the House? And, you know, if you still can't vote remotely, do you think it will actually change possible exposure events?
Yeah, you know, I think it's good because it lets people make decisions for what the COVID is, for their own risk, for themselves. I mean, I'm 35 years old in good health. I'm very low risk for being seriously ill for COVID-19, but we have members who are over 65, so that makes sense. I think it'll be really helpful on the appropriations side, because actually there's a lot of times that subcommittees will meet. It's an informational hearing only, so they'll be able to take attendance. They'll be, you know, present, and there's no voting for that day anyway. So I really think it actually will be helpful.
Would you support remote voting in any form?
No, that's a sacred responsibility to show up in the Capitol. There's some things where tradition's just so important. And I just feel like you sign up for the job, you have a responsibility to be there and be the voice for your people. So I think remote voting is just a bridge too far. And, I wouldn't be able to get behind that.
To put a ribbon on this, Representative, quickly, the governor obviously is going to present you the budget, but based on what you know and feel right now, are there going to be state service cuts in order to balance the budget in this next year?
I'll tell you what, Tim, I don't see how it's really fair how government can continue to grow, but at the same time, the people who actually fund government through creating jobs and creating revenue and taxes that the government collects, they're not able to work and they're not able to support their families, but the government can still be healthy. So I just fundamentally don't think it's fair. So we will be looking at right-sizing the size of government.
Which means
hey, Tim, can I make one?
Yeah.
You could say that, or you could say redirection of funds into other areas. So, but hey, would you mind if I do have one on personal type thing I'd like to announce, if that's okay?
Sure. Absolutely.
So at the end of the year, my wife and I went to get an ultrasound, and we're having twins. So as long as I have a microphone, I'm trying to get the word out as much as I can.
What does that mean?
Oh, we just feel very blessed. And I just, you know, you have a good program here. And I just want to, I guess I'm just a proud dad. So I'm just trying to let people know we have three kids already, and this will be five. So
congratulations. They've been very quiet today. What's going on?
They're at school. Well, you should have been here at about 7:40. It was the Albert Circus in the house. So
beautiful. Representative, good luck on your new assignment. Keep us posted on the budget. And also our thanks to our panel, a great panel with Rick and Abigail and Chad. Everybody have a safe weekend. We'll see you on the other side. Next edition of Off the Record next week right here.